proceed.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chairperson, and everyone on the platform. Chair, if you can give us a couple, 2 minutes, Chair, then we will confirm all the attendance, Chair, if that is okay.
Thank you so much.
No problem, Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Hermans. Are we ready to proceed?
Chair, I was just going about to start, of course, speak to you, Chair. We can proceed, but both committees are curating. So I will start with the NA component, and my colleague, Ms. Koff, will deal with the NCLP component, just in terms of the first item on the agenda. Chair, if I may, I must call out the name of Ms. Moatse, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Chairperson, good morning. Good morning, colleagues. Yeah. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Malamakia.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. McPherson.
Good morning, I'm here, thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair, good morning all.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson.
Morning.
Chairperson, no, one member is struggling to join us. We will address that. Those are members currently from the NA on the platform, Chair. May I hand over to Ms. Solomons, who is the secretary to the Select Committee, to do a roll call for the committee, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Proceed.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Currently on the platform, we've got Mr. Hai, Mr. Moimang, Mr. Dango, Ms. Boshoff, Mr. Brautuset, and Mr. Lont, and also Ms. Mamarahana.
Thank you Thank you. We welcome the Select Committee to our meeting today. So we are quoted, Mr. Hermans.
Chair, we are, and we may proceed, Chair.
Thank you very much. We welcome the Select Committee on Trade, Industry, Economic Development, Small Business Development, Tourism, Employment and Labour, who are joining us today. Just to deal with some committee business, in terms of sub-rules 158.2b and c, I wish to inform the committee that the House Chairperson has requested that it not receive a briefing from the DTIC on any matter relating to the recent floods in the KwaZulu-Natal province at this time. This request was to avoid any duplication given in the scope of work of the ad hoc committee dealing with the floods. Once this committee has completed its report, committees are encouraged to then engage their respective departments, taking any recommendations emanating from this report into account. Hence, the item does not form part of today's proceedings. Furthermore, the meeting scheduled for the 20th and the 28th of September, respectively, had to be swapped as the minister is accompanying the president to the United Nations General Assembly on the 20th of September, 2022. An updated program has been distributed to members. Then the reason why the Select Committee is joining us here today, the committee received a communication from the minister where he requested an opportunity to consult with the PC and the Select Committees regarding the appointment of the commissioner for the BEE Commission. The committee would like to afford the minister an opportunity to brief and to consult the committee on the appointment process regarding the commissioner. So as we fly the agenda, can I just please hand over to the Select Committee Chairperson, Honorable Hai. Honorable Hai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just got a new laptop here from Parliament, and I'm struggling to operate it. Don't even know whether you can see me.
Yes, we can see you very well. I can't even see myself. You're above Parliament.
Good morning.
Really high, but you can proceed.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now, thank you very much for the opportunity. And good morning to you. Good morning to the Minister, Honorable Members from the Portfolio Committee, as well as the Select Committee. As you have indicated, Honorable Chair, that we receive a letter from the Minister through the Office of the Chairperson of the NCOP about the intention of the Minister to consult both the Portfolio Committee and the NCOP Committee. We are having a plenary session this morning, which starts at 10. It's a ministerial briefing from the Minister of Finance and the Minister of COCTA. That then makes it difficult for the committee to, usually we have our committee meetings at 10. Because of the plenary session, we are unable to have. So we then took this opportunity to join the Portfolio Committee as the minister will be consulting. So Chair will only be here for this particular item. And then after that, we will then log out to join the plenary session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that briefing. And I'm sure we are agreed that we will excuse the select committee when we have dealt with the item that brings both of us here. Can I have the agenda back up, please? Okay. Can I check with the committee secretary whether there are any apologies?
Chair, I have an apology from Mr. Thring, Chair. He's not able to attend today's proceedings, Chair. That's the only apology I'm currently having, Chair.
Okay, so we're hoping that other members are not on the platform will be joining us.
Correct, Chair. Ms. Mutahung has joined us, Chair, in subsequently, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we have a move and a seconder for the adoption of the agenda as tabled?
Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyani.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I move for adoption of the agenda, this table. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mokmoatse.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the move.
Thank you. So our agenda is duly adopted. Then, as you see on the agenda, we will then invite the minister to give us a briefing. Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And may I appreciate this opportunity. I'd like to first recognize our Chair, Honorable Hermans, and the members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as Honorable Hai and the members of the Select Committee. Chairperson, I have a delegation from the DTIC that will be dealing with the next item in the agenda, and I would introduce them with your permission when we deal with that item. But I'd like to also recognize that Deputy Minister Majola is present for this item. Chairperson, the context to today's meeting and the agenda item, I think, is relatively clear to set out. The provisions of the BEE Act, the BBBE Amendment Act, requires that the minister appoints a commissioner. That in appointing a commissioner, the minister must have regard to suitable qualifications and experience and appoint the person for a term of not more than 5 years. Section 31B also requires that when appointing the commissioner, the minister must consult with the relevant portfolio committee of the National Assembly and the relevant select committee of the National Council of Provinces. I had written to both the chairperson of the NCOP and the speaker of the National Assembly on the 18th of August to advise that I would be seeking an opportunity to consult with the two committees. I've also on the 24th of August written directly to the chairpersons of the two committees, Honorable Khai and Honorable Hermans, setting out the context and basis of the consultation. And essentially, Chair, I had received following the expiry of the term of office of the commissioner of the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Commission, I had received a recommendation from the department that we commence with the recruitment process. The department advertised the post in April this year. The officials of the department went through a process and made a recommendation to me. The recommendation that the department made is that I consider appointing Mr. Tsediso Matona as commissioner to the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Commission. In the letter that I had sent to Honorable Hermans and Honorable Chai, I had briefly recalled the experience of Tsediso Matona, and I'd also enclosed a copy of the CV, of his CV. In the letter, I'd drawn attention to the fact that he's had considerable experience as a public service professional dealing with public policy and leadership at a senior level in the state. He was, among others, Director General in the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition. At the time, it was called the DTI. He was also Director General of the Department of Public Enterprises. He served as a stint as CEO of Eskom, and he was Secretary of the National Planning Commission in the presidency. He had also played a key role in both the formulation and implementation of a range of policies. So he's familiar with the policy environment and he's interacted actively with the private sector, with labor and civil society. So he has the experience of the various parties that are affected by the act. He also has a master's degree in development economics from the University of East Anglia and a bachelor's and honors degree in economics and political studies from the University of Cape Town. And he has various certificates from international universities, and a list was provided in the CV. So given his experience in economic strategy and change management, the department believed that he would be an appropriate person for me to consider appointing for on a full-time basis as the commissioner of the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Commission. In light of the provisions of the Act, where I am required to consult with the two committees, I appreciate the speed with which the committee chairpersons of both the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee has accommodated the request, and I conclude the background to Tsediso Matona. So, Chairperson, I would be interested in any feedback that members of the committee may wish to provide in light of the recommendations by the department before a final decision is made. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister, for that briefing. Can I then invite the Portfolio Committee members to indicate by show of hands if they wish to make an input on that briefing by the Minister? Members of both Portfolio Committee, Honourable
Thanks very much, Chair, and good morning to you, Minister. I think at the end of the day, it matters not who you appoint to be the commissioner for the entity, because at its very baseline, BBBEE has been and continues to be a spectacular failure. It has not moved the needle on growth. It has not moved the needle on unemployment. In fact, poverty amongst Black South Africans is at a historical number. Unemployment for Black South Africans is historic. Poverty for Black South Africans is historic. And BEE has done nothing to address any of that. In fact, what it does is it drives elitism. It has driven a class of South Africans that use their connections to government and to the governing party to enrich themselves at the expense of the unemployed and poverty-stricken in this country. And that's no longer the view just of the DA anymore. That is the view of members of your own party now. If you look at the views of Barbara Hogan, who I know is a very respected member of your party, a former minister within government, and many other eminent members of your party, many commentators and analysts agree with this position that triple BEE is just no longer believable or serves use in its current state or form. And that's why the DA is tabled and will be tabling our social impact bill to repeal triple BEE to ensure that the state and the spend of the state sees value in those that desperately need it the most, not the rich and not the elite and not those that are politically connected. So quite frankly, you can appoint whoever you want. It's not going to change the flawed fundamentals of triple BEE. There's nothing broad, there's nothing empowering, and there's nothing economic about this piece of legislation. That will be our view. And we desperately hope that at some point, the bells are going to start ringing in your department and in cabinet and in government as a whole to start to understand the ills of BEE and what and how it continues to lock out those that desperately need empowerment the most. You cannot continually claim to be rich and need empowerment at the same time. It doesn't wash anymore in this country. And if BEE has been as successful as many in the ANC would claim, then why are so many Black people unemployed? Why are Black people continually poverty stricken? And those are questions that BEE will not solve and does not want to solve, because this is not the sole objective or aim of triple BEE. So when we table that bill, we certainly look forward to your interaction, to your department's interaction, and hopefully many more members of society's interaction. In fact, the bill, when it was published for commentary, 83% of people who interacted with the bill viewed it favorably. So there is desperate need and desperate desire amongst ordinary South Africans for a legislation that empowers people, that is broad and deals with the symptoms of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable McPherson. Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, colleagues, members. I won't be long. The Freedom Front Plus stance on triple BEE is clear and been well known for years. Without repeating anything that Honorable McPherson has said, I would just like to iterate that the eradicating poverty won't be achieved with triple BEE as it is. And the Freedom Front Plus is also for Indian with respect, with all good intentions, that was meant originally. Triple BEE has to be disbanded, and there is actually no more need for a triple BEE commission. Time will prove us right that it would be just a continuation of fruitless expenditure. So with all respect, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister, I think we should relook the whole situation. We should go back to the drawing board. Economic growth will not be supported by triple B as it has been a failure up till now. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mulder. Honorable Broutaseth.
Chairperson, I'm looking at you on my camera and I'm in a place with very bad signal, but I just wanted to say that I concur fully with the comments and the sentiments of Honorable McPherson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Broutesis, Honorable Dango.
Thank you very much. I also will not turn my camera on, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, I think I may be in the wrong meeting, but we've been requested to look and at the credentials of a person being appointed to a commission. I wasn't sure if there was an agenda item called discussion on the BEE Act. However, having said that, I would like to support the minister in the appointment of this particular person. When I was in my previous life, I worked alongside him. He was very capable, very effective, and a person with credibility. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dango. Honorable Cuthbert.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I mean, this is the first that the committee has heard of this and the gentleman and candidate whose name is being put forward. But I did a cursory search now and I pulled up the gentleman's LinkedIn profile. And on his LinkedIn profile, he's proudly stated that he's a member of the African National Congress. Now, we've seen the challenges that South Africa has faced with state capture and the CADA deployment policy implemented by your party. And what I would like to understand is, considering the fact that he has publicly put this on his LinkedIn profile, is this being disclosed to the minister? And in light of that, has this particular appointment been run through the CADA Deployment Committee of the ANC? Because that now totally contradicts the noises that have been made in the public to say that we need to root out corruption. We need to make sure that there is, you know, no party affiliations aligned to any civil servants that are to be appointed. And this seems to, you know, be a kick in the face towards that particular sentiment. Now, I don't doubt the gentleman's credentials. They seem to be very good in respect of the education that he holds and so forth. But this brings into question, you know, whether or not his loyalties to the department and to the state, or whether it is to a political party. And I think it's important that that question is answered and that a, you know, a satisfactory explanation is given by the minister.
Thank you. Have you concluded, Honorable Cuthbert?
I have indeed. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you, Chair. I think it would be wrong of me if I allow to be silent on such good credentials of the man that we all of us know and we have witnessed what he has done. I want to thank you, Minister, for you have considered this credible man to can assist us. And I want to further it be known that the BEE is not just something that came from nowhere. It has to deal with the apartheid legacy that denied the other race to can also emerge and be equally participants of the economy of their own countries. So those who think that the BEE is irrelevant must start by further considering that it deals with the apartheid where people gained and the other people were denied such. And all of us in this world, there's no way you are not going to belong anywhere. Even if he was a member of the DA, you are going to be questioned that he's a member of the DA. To be a member of the ANC is not a sin. It's not like to be Satan in heaven. It's like to be an ordinary person that chose a party that you think is right. But I think with his credentials and job ethics, you will understand that there is there to implement the mandate of the department he has been appointed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamacha. Honorable Hai.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Oh, I'm still struggling. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, I don't even want to enter into a debate of whether BEE is right or wrong, because that is not the issue. The arguments that have been expressed should have been argument that be expressed when we're dealing with the legislation or a debate on the BEE. We're not doing any of the two. We're not dealing with the legislation now or amending the legislation. And also we are not in a debate on the triple BEE. All that we are considering here is a recommendation by the not necessarily even a recommendation, but the consultation that the minister is putting to the to the two committees of parliament. So that's what I will be addressing myself to. I think Mr. Cuthbert is better than the other speakers from the DA and the F+, because he is talking about the candidate, whether his views about him or are right or wrong, but at least he's talking about the candidate, not about the policy or the legislation. I think I commend him for that. Chair, I would also support the candidate. I also know the candidate. I was in a committee in the previous term that was responsible for oversight of the entity that he was leading. So I'm happy also because at the time he was a DG. As well. I was happy with his performance, but also now that we even have his CV, it even strengthened my confidence in him that he will be doing the job very well. We could, maybe other members can then propose that we should have a debate on triple BE, which won't be the first time. I know this Honorable Deputy Minister Machola was part of the debate that was sponsored by the FF Plus in the NCOP. We debated the issue of triple BEE as a policy, whether it's right or wrong. But today we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the appointment of the commissioner as the minister is consulting the two committees. Thank you so much, Honorable.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Select Committee, and thanks for clarifying that matter, because the agenda item is to receive a briefing from the Minister in consultation on the appointment of the Triple BEE Commissioner. Honourable Mbuyane.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks, Chair. Mine, I think, is to acknowledge the department for the presentation, and also clarify, because people are grandstanding here. The policy, triple B is the policy of government, Chairperson. And it seeks to change the economic patterns. And also we know that these white people are making it to fail because they are fronting in terms of the triple B. And the triple BEE seeks to assist our people from the bondage of apartheid and the economic patterns. We know the opposition wanted the status quo to remain because they are part of the beneficiaries of the system. For us, Chairperson, we acknowledge the process made by the department, and we also support the decision of the department to appoint this suitable and qualified candidate. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mbuyane. Honorable Moatse. Can we just check, Committee Secretary, whether Honorable Moatse is still on the platform as I hand over to Honorable Motaung?
We'll do so, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. I stand to support the minister on the appointment of the commissioner. I believe the candidate is capable to do the work because of his experience and qualifications. That says everything that we need in the commissioner. Lastly, Chair, I'm not going to join the party of Honorable McPherson. I will save my energy for another day when we discuss that part. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Broutaseth, I see you have your hand up for a second bite.
Thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me. Chairperson, I just wanted to reflect that this entire conversation is akin to rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. The triple B double E ship is going down, regardless of who the captain is. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Broutaseth. Honourable Minister.
Well, first, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the for the opportunity to have the consultation, and also for the views that have been expressed by honourable members. And I will give further consideration to this. By way of an initial response to the issues raised, I would have loved to have an opportunity to go through matters relating to broad-based Black economic empowerment and transformation more generally. But I need to resist that, Chairperson, because as has been pointed out by Honorable Khai, that's not the agenda item. So, first, in respect of Honorable McPherson's comments, it is a view that Honorable McPherson has put forward. It is a political view of Honorable McPherson's party. While I take note of the view, I don't agree with the view, and I hope there will be an opportunity in future where we can have, as a department, the agenda item to enable us to provide a report on many of the things that we're doing that I think will enthuse South Africans, and I hope all members of Parliament to transform and to bring more South Africans into the mainstream economy. Honourable Mulder, thank you for your comments. While I do not agree, Honourable Mulder, with your comment that there's no need for a commission, I'm sure you'll recognise that the law as it stands requires a commissioner, and so I have to make that decision. But in any event, I believe that the commission can play an important role in helping us achieve the fundamental promise of South Africa's constitution, which is that through rule of law, through a constitutional order, we can build a society with greater levels of inclusion, equity, and participation. Honorable Broutaseth, thank you for your comments. I respectfully do not agree with either your analogy or the point that you've made. But I've taken note of your comment. Honorable Cuthbert has raised matters relating to the LinkedIn profile of the candidate. Honorable Cuthbert, you may be interested to know that we do not ask prospective commissioners the question of which political party they support. I think you would be happy with the fact that that's not a question, and so it's certainly not a matter that has come up. What I should indicate, though, is this matter has come up before in respect of candidates. Given the role that the ANC has played in the life of Black South Africans and South Africans in general, many white South Africans also in this period when the ANC was an important part of the struggle for freedom, an important constituent body in formulating ideas around South Africa's constitution and the peaceful transition, and of course, ultimately on the adoption of the constitution. You may be interested to know, Honorable Cuthbert, that many, many Black South African professionals have been active in the ANC, both in the period before 1994 and subsequently. They comprise doctors and lawyers and engineers and scientists and accountants and economists and many, many others. We would be a poorer society if we were to exclude so many talented South Africans who happen, by the way, not only to be Black South Africans, also white South Africans, who, because of the membership of the ANC, it seems we should not be considering their contribution to public life. I don't think we'd want to impoverish South Africa like that. So the political position of Sediso Matona is not, in my view, relevant to his professionalism that is demonstrated in the jobs that is held in the public sector. His very clear professional credentials, and I appreciate that you've acknowledged his credentials. And I have no doubt that Mr. Matona would be completely respectful of South Africa's constitution and carry out his duties subject to the constitution and the law. I should also note that during the period when he worked for the National Planning Commission on matters relating to the implementation of the National Development Plan, he showed that professionalism, and of course the DA itself also endorsed the National Development Plan, as did many other parties in Parliament. On the issues raised by Honorable Dango, I concur, Honorable Dango, about the agenda item that is before us. I take note, Honorable Malimacha, of the comments that you've made and the support that you've given, as well as the comments made by Honorable Khai, Honorable Mbuyani, and Honorable Mutaung. So I want to appreciate the comments that have been made. One of the issues that has come up is whether in the work that the commission does, it can deal with all the challenges that South Africa faces, challenges relating to poverty, to unemployment, and to growth. And I'm happy to say that Sediso Matona, in the period that he worked in the National Planning Commission, had to grapple with the questions of how to increase South Africa's growth rate and how to make that growth more inclusive, how to ensure that that growth indeed helped to create more jobs and more opportunities for small and medium enterprises. So there's no question in my mind that a well-constructed and well-implemented program that sought to bring many more South Africans into the economy will be good for job creation, will be good for poverty reduction, will be good for the fight against high levels of inequality. And so therefore, it is important that when I apply my mind, that I know that the person that is the BEE commissioner is both very familiar with the issues around growth and very familiar with the issues around transformation. Mr. Matona was also Director General of the DTIC at the time when the various pieces of legislation, including the BEE Act, was implemented. And so we're looking to find ways in which broad-based transformation and empowerment can have an even stronger impact on the economy and on job creation. And that is an area I was interested to see whether the candidate has the requisite skills and experience. And I conclude from the comments that honorable members have made that you too feel that those would be important attributes and experience for a successful candidate to have. So may I then thank the committee chairperson of the two committees and hand back to the chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for that briefing. And I'm sure that you will take the inputs made by members into account as you conclude the appointment of the BEE Commissioner. Honorable Cuthbert, I see your hand is up.
Thanks very much, Chair. There was one question that remained unanswered. Minister Patel was sanctioning his party's cater deployment policy instead of answering my question. And the question that I asked him, has this appointment ever been sent to the ANC's cater deployment committee by any of his officials, by himself, in order to get the party's clearance before this person was in fact appointed? We know that this is a matter of public interest because there have been several revelations and the African National Congress have had to make public these documents. So I think that it is only right that the minister answers that question.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert. Honourable Minister.
Chairperson, I'm happy to answer that question. And the answer is no, I've not referred this appointment to any party political structure. And in the light of that, I'm looking forward to Honourable Cuthbert also supporting this candidature so that I can take that into account in making a final decision. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. That concludes our discussion on that agenda item. Thank you very much, Minister. You said that you'll be handing over to Honorable Majola on the next agenda item that we have. So with that, we excuse the Minister and then of course also the Select Committee to their other engagement. Thank you very much, Minister. So as we receive...
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Greeting by the DTIC and its entities on the implementation of relief programs, including the 2021 unrest and the impact on the broader economy and the DTIC's allocated budget. The DTIC and its development financing institution plays a significant role in funding investment in for a new and expanding manufacturing and other capacity in South Africa. However, during the economic downturns and unforeseen circumstances, such as the 2021 July looting in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, they also divert funds to offer relief to maintain and or build, rebuild existing capacity in an effort to minimize job losses and to mitigate the effects on economic growth over time. Given the impact of these types of budgetary diversions on the broader economy and on the DTIC's planned targets, the committee has scheduled today's meeting additionally to engage with the DTIC on the above, in particular on progress made since its oversight visit and subsequent meeting in August 2021 on the relief programs offered by the DTIC and the outcomes thereof thus far. I see you still on the platform, Minister. Would you like to make a comment, introductory remarks?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Given that we're now in the portfolio committee session itself, perhaps just to briefly introduce the team to perhaps make one comment on the PC agenda and make one introductory comment that Deputy Minister Majola had requested I make, and then hand over to Deputy Minister Majola. So perhaps to start with the team that is present, and I'd like to thank the Portfolio Committee for the opportunity to brief the committee, for the department to brief the committee. We have a delegation that will be led by Deputy Minister Majola. It also has the Acting Director General, Shabir Khan. And in addition to that, there are two Deputy Director Generals present, Malebo Mabitsi-Thompson and Stephen Hannevel, as well as the Chief Director for Industrial Finance, Susan Mangole, who's been actively involved in a number of the programs that is described in the presentation. The COO of the department, Nontombi Matumela. But we're also joined by a delegation from the two
entities, the IDC and the NEF, because they played quite a key role, as honorable members will find out from the work that is being put forward in the committee report. The IDC is represented by the head of small business finance, Manoj Sionath, by the Gauteng regional manager, Naomi Mchali, and a number of other regional managers, and a manager in the office of the COO. The NEF is represented, among others, by the strategic project fund manager, Andile Stimela, the CFO, because ultimately this is about allocation of money, and the general counsel, Mzi Daimani, and the corporate communications manager. And I'd like to appreciate all of their attendance at the request of the department. Chairperson, just before dealing with the item that we're coming to, I'd like to appreciate the chair and the committee accommodating the request for one swap of dates. And just for the fullness of the record, it's not that I will be attending the UN General Assembly, but it's the President has requested me that during the UN General Assembly meeting in New York, that I convene a meeting of US business people who I can interact with and who the President can address in order to boost foreign investment in South Africa and to highlight the opportunities for growth in the South African economy. And so I do appreciate the accommodation by the committee. Honorable Chairperson, the presentation that we would do today follows the previous presentations that we had given to the committee. We had addressed the committee in, if I recall, August last year, and also earlier this year, where we spoke more generally on the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. Deputy Minister Majola and Deputy Minister Gina have been involved in a number of ways in the rollout of the measures that we announced. They included visits to affected sites and to and engagements with business people. And in the presentation that Deputy Minister Majola will lead today, it will provide the committee with a succinct sense of what the department planned, what has been the outcome of that. And we're going to be using some key indicators, looking at the number of businesses that have been supported in the period. And all of this, of course, relates principally to the resources that were allocated and used for the unrest that occurred in KZN and parts of Gauteng in July last year. In the course of doing our work, some of the resources that had originally been set aside was also used for support for flood relief. But as the chairperson had indicated earlier, that falls outside the scope of today's meeting. So we're not going to be providing that detail in the discussion or in the presentation today, other than to point to the link in the funding mechanism that has been put together. Chairperson, in the presentation, we'll also point to the way in which the agencies, the NEF and the IDC, were involved in rolling out these programs at local level. But a big part of what we did was to build partnerships, not to seek to do everything as national government. We worked collaboratively with the KZN and Gauteng provinces, and some of that may be highlighted in the report. And we worked with a number of intermediaries. And these intermediaries would include entities as diverse as the KZN
agency of government that deals with investment and trade matters. We worked with NGOs like Gift of the Givers. We worked with organizations that represented different participants in our community, like the Stokvel Association, in order to ensure that the support that was being rendered was not only targeted, but that it was also and critically delivered as quickly as possible. And so it's a model that instead of the state trying to replicate everything and do everything, that we would provide the framework, roll out quite a bit from through the IDC and NEF, and also use partnerships with other bodies. We were particularly concerned to ensure that we marry the twin needs, on the one hand, of moving much faster than the state normally moves, and at the same time, taking every step that we could to avoid corruption and mismanagement of funds. And one of the measures that I'm sure the Deputy Minister and the Director General will talk about is the use of a real-time audit, where we worked with the Auditor General. I think it's the first time that a department or our department has requested specifically that a real-time audit be conducted, so that as we were rolling out the program, the AG would be entitled to scrutinize all the information and provide a report on whether there were any irregularities. And the reason we did that, so that if we found any problems or irregularities, we could attend to those immediately. Our focus was really on trying to reach as many small businesses as possible. These would be businesses across different sectors of the economy, and the Deputy Minister and DG will provide very concrete detail on that. Many of these are township businesses, and there was a particular need to ensure those least able to utilize either their own resources or the resources of their insurers were given the most significant support in the work. We also took a very hands-on approach as government in this. So it wasn't really just making an announcement, and there were weekly meetings, sometimes two meetings a week, where we went through the program to make sure that both the IDC and the NEF was aware of the pressing need that solving a problem 2 years after it's occurred is not going to be appropriate, that we needed to find ways in which we speeded up all of our processes. And I hope in the presentation, all those different elements will come out. We also decided to select a few case studies that the department will be able to take the committee through, and it's in the presentation that was circulated. And those highlight the range of businesses. Taking a few examples, they are in addition to the examples that had been shared with the committee in previous presentations and that had been shared in the public domain in the briefings, the public briefings that the department gave earlier this year. So, Chairperson, with those brief introductory remarks, thank you very much for the opportunity for the department to give the presentation. And if with your permission, I can ask through the Chairperson that the Deputy Minister then leads the rest of the presentation, and the Deputy Minister will identify where he may need the officials to come in. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, for those introductory remarks. Honourable Deputy Minister Majola.
Thank you very much, Committee Chairperson. And thanks to the Minister for the introductory comments. Let me greet all members of the portfolio committee present today, and the team from the DTLC family, the acting director general, and the two DGs and the rest of the team from the DTLC, and the teams from NEF and the IDC. Chairperson, I'm going to ask that the presentation be flighted. At a later stage, I'll hand over to the acting director general to continue the presentation and the commission. I'll do concluding remarks at the end, at the point at which you allow. Chair, the outline of the presentation is as follows. We would firstly recap on the unrest response and then do the economic recovery performance overview, which will be followed by the economic recovery impact at conclusion. And as Mr. Fair indicated, give a few case studies of the work that we have done. Next slide, please. Just to provide a context and some background, Chairperson, in March of 2020, we know that COVID-19 struck with very devastating health and economic impact. The DTIC put in place measures to support the health system at the time, livelihoods and local production. In July 2021, as the economy had begun to rebuild momentum, the July 2021 unrest in the KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng interrupted the growth surge of the economy. While the fiscal damage was restricted to firms in these provinces, the negative impact has been felt throughout the economy. Support packages were announced to support individuals and businesses that were adversely affected by the decent destruction and looting. In February 2022, the conflict in Ukraine led to a sharp rise in prices of fuel and food products, with supply chains facing severe disruptions. In April of 2022, the largest floods in generations struck the eastern seaboard of South Africa, washing away infrastructure and causing loss of life and damage to property. As you alluded to, Chair, this is not a matter that we will cover today, as directed by the House Chair, that it would be dealt with by the other committee that has been set up. On the DTIC's response to the unrest, an economic support package of 3.75 billion was developed by the DTIC and its entities to assist companies affected by the July 2021 unrest. The supposed package consisted of 700 billion that was reprioritized from the DTIC funds. 1.3 billion was allocated by National Treasury. 1.5 billion reprioritized from the IDC, and 250 million came from the allocation from the NEF. The package consisted of different types of support, generally as a blended product of grants and loans at concessionary terms and bridging finance in order to cover cash flow challenges until the South African Special Insurance Risk Association was able to make payouts. The DTIC agencies coordinated the approach and worked in partnerships with the Unemployment Insurance Fund, SASRIA, and Small Enterprise Finance Agency to increase the impact and address double dipping from applicants. The NEF received an additional 273 million from the Solidarity Fund to offer grants that could be blended with concessionary loans. On the economic recovery performance overview, Chairperson, next slide. We're moving too fast. Thank you. On the economic recovery fund performance overview, Chairperson, 2,400 that we see there is the number of enterprises that were supported by the DTIC group. The DTIC group reached out to communities through publicizing the package widely, physical visits by the DTIC team and meetings convened by the minister and together with the DTIC officials and the officials from the NEF and the IDC, virtual meetings with businesses, working with intermediary organizations, partnerships with, in particular of the KZN and Gauteng provincial governments and their municipalities. Next page, 2,641 is the number of physical visits, physical sites that were covered by the support. And we made the distinction, Chair, between the number of sites and the number of firms, because some of these firms would have multiple sites. So that's why the number of the sites would be higher than the number of firms that were supported. So in a number of cases, individual firms suffered damage to more than one physical site and the support program took this into account. Next slide. We continue the Economic Recovery Fund performance overview. 3 billion rand is the value of approvals of applications made for the July 2021 unrest date. The approval processes for applications were significantly changed to enable faster decision-making and to take account of challenges that firms faced where their record systems were destroyed in the unrest. This needed to be done whilst working within the framework of the Public Finance Act. Just as an emphasis, the minister covered this, Chairperson, as for members of the committee to take note that we think this has been a very important learning process for us. The changing of the processes that are followed by the NEF and the ID and IDC has given us very good lessons in ensuring that we can ensure that government processes are faster. The disbursements and the approvals were done in ways that were extraordinary. So these are not processes that both the entities would have followed. So given the scale and the urgency at the time, the minister insisted that we should ensure that we can bring some changes to the processes that are followed to ensure that we can add to speed. In addition to the 3 billion rand approvals, in some cases, preliminary approvals were not needed when firms were able to secure their insurance monies in time before bills for construction and repair works were done. On the next page, 2.4 billion rand is the value of disbursements made by the DTIC group to date. The impact of the support package is felt once disbursements are made. And this is why we make the point, Chairperson, that approvals are important, but it is disbursements that really matter. The focus is therefore on securing the soonest transfer of money to approved applicants. In a number of cases where construction work were undertaken or machinery ordered to replace damaged equipment, payments are made in stages based on completion of work. The disbursements will therefore continue to rise in the coming period throughout this financial year as firms meet their targets. 45,000 is the number of jobs at firms and entities who received funding by the DTIC group. The support package was focused on firms affected by the unrest, and affected firms were required to provide information on the number of jobs that were retained. These ranged from formal sector jobs in both medium and small businesses, as well as jobs in the informal sector. With regard to Economic Recovery Fund performance, Chairperson of your permission, I would like to hand over to the acting DG to continue the presentation from this slide. With your permission, Chair, can please hand over to the acting Director General.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Acting Director General.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Greetings to you, Madam Chair, to the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, staff of Parliament, and to the colleagues of the DTIC, IDC, and the NEF. Chair, I will unpack some of the numbers which the Deputy Minister has already reported on, and the next few slides will then unpack some of these detail. On this slide, here we unpack the applications that were received throughout this process, a breakdown of the approvals between the IDC, the NEF, as well as the DTIC, but also provides you an in-detail breakdown of the sites between the three entities as well. As the Deputy Minister has indicated, 3 billion rand has been approved to date, and the number of jobs that were impacted was in the region of 45,207. Also to indicate that reconciliations with insurance companies, SESTRIA, have been completed, as companies have already started receiving payments. The IDC approvals were made to direct beneficiaries, which were 85 in total, and this was dispensed to 246 sites. Approvals were also made to 14 intermediaries, who in turn dispensed funding to 2,104 end beneficiaries. The pipeline for the Economic Recovery Fund has been fully processed with no further applications pending. The remaining applications are in various stages of processing for decision-making. The next slide. The next slide provides a breakdown of IDC approvals between direct support and through the partnership with the intermediaries. In total, IDC had made 99 approvals to the value of 1.7 billion, and this include 282 million rand to the 14 intermediaries. The graphics provides a breakdown in terms of the approvals between direct support and intermediaries, as well as the number of jobs and sites that were impacted by the support. What's critical to note is that you could see that through the partnership with the intermediaries, we were able to reach a large number of sites which we, as the DTIC family, would not have been able to reach. And you can see that the number of sites that were reached through the intermediaries were much more larger and much more significant as compared to the support as compared to the direct support. The graph on the right-hand side of the presentation provides an indication of a sector breakdown. Here we can see that the majority of the firms that were supported by the IDC were in the manufacturing sector, followed by retail. The next slide. Here, it's the IDC direct approvals. Here we can see that IDC has funded 246 sites directly. And many of the approvals that IDC has made are for enterprises in multiple locations and districts. And the majority of the affected sites are in King Sechuayo, Itakwini, and the Johannesburg district. The next slide. The next slide provides a breakdown of the disbursements to end beneficiaries through intermediaries. Here we can see that the majority of the affected sites are in Tekwini and the Johannesburg district. The next slide. This slide provides an overview of the disbursement to various through the various intermediaries. In total, the IDCs provided support by its 14 intermediaries. This reached 2,104 firms that benefited, as well as to the value of 270 million rand. We can see that the support reached a number of jobs in through the intermediaries to the value of approximately 19,362. The intermediaries included the National Stokvel Association of South Africa, the Gift of the Givers, Trade and Investment KZN, the private sector agencies for onward, a number of private sector agencies for onward distribution, as well as a number of NGOs. The next slide provides the details around the NEF approvals. Here we can see that the NEF received funding through various sources. The majority of it has come through the DTIC, through the Economic Recovery Fund, as well as NEF using its own balance sheet to provide funding. What's also important to note that the NEF has also partnered with the Solidarity Fund, and here we were able to provide, to partner with the Solidarity Fund and provide funding to the value of approximately 270 million rand to various firms that were impacted by the unrest. In terms of the sector breakdown, the majority of the firms that were supported were in the retail sector, followed by retail estate, and then the service activities, which is in the food and beverages subsectors. The next slide. The next slide provides the work that the department supported directly through the critical infrastructure, the critical infrastructure rebuilding program. Here there were 12 sites that were approved. These include an industrial park in KZN, as well as a number of shopping centers that needed critical infrastructure support to assist these companies to come into production as soon as possible. Moving on to the next slide. The next few slides provides a further breakdown of the subsectors in which some of these companies or firms that were supported, in which they have come from. Here we can see that there was a total of 49 companies that were in the clothing, textile, leather, and footwear subsector. Also, we can see that a number of companies were supported in the food subsector, which consisted of packaging of grain products, manufacturing of ice cream. And yet in total, there were 111 of those firms that were supported. Another big area of support was in retail trade, in which a total of 142 firms were supported between the IDC and the NEF. The next slide. Another area in which significant support was provided was in the food and beverages services activities. And as we go through the case studies, you will see that a number of restaurants as well as service stations were supported. Also, a number of personal services activities, companies were supported, such as funeral homes, as well as dry cleaning community centers that were also supported between the IDC and the NEF. The next slide. The next slide to also indicate that here we've seen support to a number of pharmacies that were also impacted by the floods, and both IDC and NEF provided support in this area. Moving on to the next slide. This provides a further breakdown into the intermediaries which the IDC has partnered in terms of the support mechanism. Here we can see that the subsector in which a majority of the support has went to is in crop and animal production. Here we've seen a number of sugarcane farmers that were supported. Furthermore, we've seen that a number of supermarkets, clothing retailers, pharmacies, hardware stores, and butcheries that were supported. And this was quite a significant number. We've seen here 1,859 companies that were supported. The next slide, here we see that a number of community social welfare and restaurants were supported by the IDC through the partnership with the intermediaries. The next slide. Okay, next slide. The next slide. Just in terms of the economic recovery risk mitigation, one slide back, Sulus, apologies. Here we've seen that, as Minister has also indicated, that there were ministerial weekly meetings which were held to monitor the implementation, to address the risk of slow rollout and unnecessary bureaucracy. The heads of the IDC, the NEF, and the DTIC were requested by the ministry to supervise the work of the entities directly to ensure that communities received assistance. The DTIC also requested the Auditor General of South Africa to conduct a real-time audit on the economic support package. This is different to a normal audit as it provides feedback whilst programs are being implemented so that any findings can be immediately addressed without waiting for the end of the financial year. This was to ensure that funds are used for the intended purpose as per the Special Appropriations Act. There were no negative findings as per the preliminary report of the Auditor General. We've also set up fraud hotlines within the DTIC, the IDC, and the NEF for the reporting of any fraudulent activities. And these hotlines were communicated publicly. To date, zero cases were reported. In terms of the impact, the next slide. In terms of the impact, the DTIC conducted an assessment to determine the impact of the economic support package to beneficiaries. At the time of conducting this assessment, 1.96 billion rand had been dispersed to various beneficiaries with the following results. Increased GDP at market prices by 1.5 billion rand nationally. We've also seen an increase in overall manufacturing output at 797 million rand and 654 million rand additional household consumption. The next slide. The detail, the assessment and macroeconomic analysis preliminary results were based on the disbursements at the time of the impact assessment, and these were used to estimate the impact of the full package of 3 billion rand. The preliminary results may be adjusted based on further information that will be received. And the table provides an analysis of the results at the time in which 1.96 billion rand was dispersed, an increase in GDP of 1.5 billion, 0.04% increase in GDP, an increase in manufacturing output of 797 billion rand, increase in tax collection of 223 million rand, as well as household consumption of 654 million rand. The next slide. Within 8 months of the rollout of the support package, the floods on the eastern seaboard required additional support to be provided. The IDC made available support of approximately 500 million rand from the support package, bringing the total resources deployed to 3.5 billion rand to date. As Minister has indicated, this report does not cover the measures by the DTIC to address the COVID-19 pandemic. This was done previously in a report to the Portfolio Committee, nor the support provided for the April 2022 floods. Funding was obtained through various sources. I think this we have covered in a previous slide. The next slide. The next slide provides a conclusion in terms of where we are. the unexpected trio of crises, which is the COVID-19, the July 2020 unrest, the Ukraine conflict, and April 2022 floods, extracted a big cost from the economy, disrupted the normal work of the DTIC group, but also strengthen our ability to build resilient, sustainable value chains that create the potential for inclusive growth, a key objective in order to create a better life for all. A particular focus of the work undertaken was on support for small and medium-sized businesses and Black industrialists, and this we'll show in the next few slides. To strengthen growth, the focus in the period ahead will be on structural reform of network industries, expanding and modernizing infrastructure, strengthening private sector investment, and supporting localization and exports, especially to the rest of the African continent. The next slide. Chair, here we do have a number of case studies, which I will go through quite quickly. There are 20 in total, but the reason for highlighting this is to demonstrate the impact of the work much more succinctly in terms of how the support was provided. The first one is a company which was a family-owned business, Heartland, that manufactures and supplies breakfast cereals to big retail stores like ShopRite, Boxer, and Spar. Here, support was provided in the region of 50 million rand, 336 jobs were saved, and the factory was able to restore to 50% operational capacity within 4 weeks. Here we've seen the managing director of Heartland's Food, Salim Carson, who indicated his appreciation for IDC for responding with speed and passion in putting a deal in place so that they could then revive their business quite urgently. The next case study is one in which IDC provided 154 million rand in grant support to support a number of township, small town, and rural informal traders and small businesses. Here, the IDC worked with a number of strategic implementing partners to fund close to 1,852 business entities, saving 7,101 jobs. Here, we can see that the New Horizons Informal Trader Project identified 180 beneficiaries to receive new trading structures in the wake of the July unrest, and the initiatives reflect the Building Back Better ethos. The next slide. Here we highlight the support provided by the IDC to a number of sugarcane growers that were impacted by the damage suffered during the civil unrest. And here we can see that the support saved over 6,500 jobs. We've seen the support going to a number of small sugarcane farmers. The first one that I'd like to highlight is 87-year-old Mrs. Patricia Mbele, affectionately known as Gogo by her employees, was watching the news when she heard of the unrest. She was not aware that her cane in Umhlangeni Mdoni had been set alight during the unrest. She has run her farm since the 70s, and she received support from the IDC to buy fertilizers and pesticides and get her employees back out on the field. We've also seen Mr. Ngubo, who indicated that on the day of the unrest, they burnt my sugarcane fields, and he was really heartbroken because he's lost everything. And he was also one of the beneficiaries from the IDC. The next slide. Here is a support provided to a pharmacist in the East Rand community. And here we've seen a testimonial from the owner, Ms. Bulelwa Maponya, who indicated that the consultant treated me like a sister from another mother. The IDC's willingness to listen and act swiftly meant that I could still maintain my integrity as a healthcare practitioner and be open for business to be of service to my loyal community. The next case study is one which is called Wired Hardware Pty Limited, which is a 100% Black owned and managed enterprise that was established in 2010. The business is owned by Mr. Mchadu, who has 11 years hands-on experience and is full-time involved in the business. Wired Hardware's Pty Limited is a Build It franchisee who owns two Build It hardwares in Inanda and Komashu. Here we've seen damage. The damages were for both the Build It in both Inanda and Komashu, which were completely looted by the unrest. And the pictures on the right-hand side shows the extent of the damage that occurred within these two premises. And here we can see from the further pictures that the support provided by the state through the NEF really had an impact in terms of bringing both those bullets back into operation. Next slide. The next slide is a 100% owned business called Madevu Properties, which is wholly owned by Mrs. Zama Slobo Sabela. And this is a business that is an emerging Black-owned commercial property company that owned a retail development named Madevu Center, anchored by Boxers Superstores and Shell. Here, once again, we can see the extent of the damage in the pictures above, and followed by the intervention of the NEF, we can see that both that these stores were rebuilt quite quickly. Here, the NEF provided support in the region of 8 million rand to resuscitate the business, and this assisted in retaining 160 jobs. The next slide. The next slide is a 100% Black youth-owned company that was supported called Balemes Life Pty Limited. This business is a lifestyle business that offers a Shishinyama grill house, an auto spa, a coffee bean cafe, and a VIP lounge that established after Mr. Ntuli converted Anke property utilized as a local community dump site. Here also we can see that there was damage to a property as a result of the unrest. And here the NEF approved 750,000 rand for the development of new modern structure, which will enhance and improve the business processes. And through the funding, the business will retain 35 direct jobs. The next one is a 100% Black owned and managed business, which has been in operation for 46 years, called Wine Food Pty Limited. And here Wine Foods deals primarily in processing chicken, producing individually quick frozen portions for a wide range, including restaurants, butcheries, distributors, and direct retailers. Their main clients include Cambridge Foods, Roman's Pizzas, Papachinos, Vasco Distributors, and Meat Express. This company was also a victim of vandalism that was caused by the unrest in the Alexandra Township in Gauteng. Here, the NEF provided support to the value of 18 million rand, which provided support for modern equipment and fittings, which were provided to the business. Here, the support enabled the business to re-employ 60 people and 5 additional jobs were created. The next one is a youth-owned business called Nguni Group, which is a collective. The Nguni Group is a collective reference to Nguni Foods, an authentic Nguni cuisine restaurants, as well as the Nguni brand, a clothing line that embraces the colorful Nguni patterns and colors. The group was formed in 2020 by two Black women who are also youth. Both these entities are based in KwaZulu-Natal at the Davenport Square in Glenwood, Durban. These companies were negatively impacted by the July 2021 unrest, and NEF approved 8.1 million rand to assist both companies to recover shop fittings, computers, and other IT systems, furniture, sewing machines, refrigerators, and 26 employees were re-employed through this intervention. The next slide. The next one is a Black-owned paint distribution entity called SA Paint Distributors, which was established in 2018 by Mr. Sibusiso Tabete. And yet this company retails from Deep Kloof and Rudaport and services hardware stores, contractors, and specialty paint stores in townships and rural areas. Both stores were affected by the riots that took place. The NEF-linked SA Paint Distributors with Stevenson Paints, an existing NEF client, for SA Paint Distributors to source their paint stock from Stevenson's. Stevenson is an existing NEF client that was funded through the NEF and received funding of 10 million rand in 2020. Here, through this intervention, Stevenson's Paint has since become the preferred supplier for SA Paint Distributors. For the paint stock that's produced by this company. The next slide. This one is a company called Wildfire Trading, which is 100% owned by Ms. Malazzi in the petroleum industry. Here we can see from the pictures, this engine site was completely vandalized and they received support from the NEF in order to renovate the site after it was vandalized. The next slide. The next one is a pharmacist called Sparkport, which is a pharmacy that's 100% Black owned. The business is owned by Mr. Ghulam Mohammed and Mr. Soli Suleiman, who are full-time involved in the business. The Sparkport Group is one of the first Black-owned independent community pharmacy groups that has been in existence for 38 years, with Sparkport Smith Street established in 1995. Here they received support from the NEF in the region of 5 million rand to replace a number of furniture fittings and equipment, as well as working capital to restart operations. The next slide is a Bull Mart in Komatsu, which is a hardware store based in Komatsu, and was one of the businesses that were impacted by the unrest. The NEF approved 10 million rand in funding to assist the business with working capital requirements, as well as capex for fixtures and fittings. The NEF has also facilitated the engagement between Bullmart, Komatsu, and Stevenson's Paint, which was a previous client of the NEF. And through the intervention of the NEF, Stevenson's Paint has since become the preferred supplier for Buildmart as well. The next slide. The next slide is a Burial Services, which is 100% Black owned burial company that was formed in 2011. Here we've seen that they received support from the NEF in the region of 19.1 million rand. And yet NEF assisted to replace equipment, shop fittings, replace stock, as well as working capital. The next slide. The next one is a company that's 100% Black owned clothing retailer that was established in 1973 by Mr. R. Pashotem, and in 2019, which was taken over by his son. Here we've seen both the stores were affected by the unrest that took place, and the NEF has contributed to localization within the store brand, which contributed 55% of their sales. 100% of the reconstruction budget was allocated towards local contractors. Funding was provided in the region of 10 million rand for the re-establishment, for funding for the re-establishment of the stores, which include stock, working capital, equipment, and furniture and fittings. The next slide is in another site, a fuel site that was also looted during the unrest. This is the site that's owned by Ms. Patience Radebe. And here we've seen that the we can see from the pictures that the site was also completely damaged. And through the support of the NEF, they were able to re-establish the service station, and the support in the region of 4 million was provided for wet and dry stock, including working capital, equipment, furniture, and fittings. And this is a site that was in Soweto in Gauteng. The next one is another fuel site in Kwamashu, a BP, which is a Black-owned franchisee of BP Southern Africa, operating in the Kwamashu Township. The entity was established in 2007 by Mr. Sibonelo Mabata. The business included a retail shop or outlet, which was also affected by the unrest. The NEF approved 3 million rand for purposes of restoring lost equipment, damaged buildings, capital requirements, and capex for fixtures and fittings. The business's operations has been fully restored with a new and revamped Pick and Pay branded shop outlet, as we can see from the pictures on the right-hand side. The next one is one which is in the education sector called Kingdom Varsity College, which is a Black-owned FET college formed in 2017 by Ms. Tembisile Sizakele Mkube. This is an FET college that operates on lease premises located at the Nongoma Shopping Center in KZN. And we can see that this college provides or offers courses in chemical engineering, civil engineering, financial management, farming management, human resources management. And through the support of the NEF, they were able to refurbish the vandalized premises and replace furniture and fittings. The next one is one called KPML Group. And this is a group of entities that own and operate 30 KFC outlets that's owned by Ms. Kedibone Labete. And Ms. Labete has been with the KFC brand for over 35 years, in which she started off as a fryer and in which she's operated as a franchisee for the last 12 years. 14 KFCs were damaged in a number of areas, including Sebokeng, Everton, Wild, Deep Kloof, Proja Glen, Tlamini in Soweto. And here we've seen that they were provided support from the NEF to rebuild and restore operations of the 9 KFCs. This is a company that employs, or they managed to re-employ 550 employees. Chair, as I conclude, this is the last case study, which is called the Chicory Pty Limited, which is a Black-owned distributor and wholesaler of fresh and frozen poultry and other frozen foods operating from Bria Dean in Durban. As we can see from the pictures, this business was totally vandalized. And the NEF approved 24.5 million rand to assist the business with refrigeration, vehicles, construction, stock, plant and equipment to recommence operations after the unrest. Through the support of the NEF, this firm managed to retain 35 employees. Chair, this is the last slide, and I will then conclude my presentation at this point and hand over back to the Deputy Minister for his closing remarks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Deputy Minister.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thanks to Acting DG. Chairperson, that constitute the entirety of our presentation. Just there to make a few concluding points. The first one, Chair, is to reiterate the point that we made at the start of the unrest and during our first presentation, that the impact of the of the unrest was very wide and it was very deep, and it caused quite a severe damage to our economy. So its impact, whilst the events happened in KZN and Gauteng, but it caused a quite serious shock throughout the economy. So and as a result, our interventions, our response, were never going to be adequate to be able to respond to the impact, the totality of the impact of the damage and that was caused to our economy. So, Chair, so for us to be able to get a full sense of what the impact of our response and our interventions have been, it is important to look at a government-wide response to the devastation that was caused by the unrest. But obviously, at this point in time, we're just reporting on the interventions that are confined to our portfolio. So, but I think that to have a good sense of what impact has government intervention made, it would be good to look at the entirety of the government-wide intervention. The last point, Chair, that I would like to make is we're quite proud of the introduction of the real-time audit by the Auditor General. You would know, Chair, that since the beginning of COVID, so every time allocations, especially of very large amounts, are made, there's quite a serious concern in public as to whether the allocated funds will reach the intended beneficiaries, and that they will do what was intended to be done with the funds. So we're quite happy that with regard to the funds that were allocated by the DTIC, the initial audit has shown that those funds have reached the intended beneficiaries. And we want to assure the committee that if it so happens in future, that we discover that something untoward would have happened with the allocated funds, we want to assure the committee that they will take the necessary action to ensure that the remedial action is taken. So with that, Chairperson, so thank you for the time. And once again, thanks to members of the committee. We'll be able to take questions, and I'm going to defer to the Acting Director General. We have quite a large team from the DTIC family, so the at the point when we take questions, the Acting DG would determine who amongst the officials want to respond to the questions. That's all. Thanks very much, Committee Chair.
Thank you very much to you and your delegation. I will now take hands. I see the hand of Honorable McPherson. Portfolio committee members, can I just take the hands first, Honorable McPherson? Okay, it seems as if yours is the only one so far. You may proceed.
Thanks, Chair. Being from KZN and Ezegweni, specifically, I'm well aware that the damage took place in many businesses, regardless of racial ownership. And so I'm interested as to why government sought to make funding available through entities that prioritize one race over another, as opposed to making funding or assistance available on the basis of need, as you know, the looters and those that damaged businesses didn't specifically go around targeting one business or another based on demographic ownership. So I'm just curious where that policy directive came from, or where it comes from, or where it sits in government, that public funds are used on the basis of assisting a demographic over another, especially considering the court pronouncing on exactly the same thing that the Department of Tourism did in allocating funds or assistance during COVID on the basis of demographics. So I'm just curious as to where the policy position lies and why funding by government or through the DTI would be made available on such a basis through an entity like the NEF, which obviously has a misguided mandate to assist one demographic over another. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson. Any other hands from or inputs from committee members? It seems not. Honourable Minister, you can direct this the response to one of your team, Deputy Minister.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would like to start with the acting DG, but I would want to respond to the policy question that Honourable McPherson is raising. DG, I would like you to comment first, and I'll respond to the question by Honourable McPherson. With your permission, Chair.
Acting DG.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable McPherson, for the question. Chair, the support that the DTIC and its entities provided was based on a survey that was conducted. A survey that was conducted through a number of channels in which the DTIC as well as the various other agencies of the state like CESRIA were looking to understand the extent of the damage throughout. These included various firms across both KZN and Gauteng. And this was done on the basis of trying to understand the extent of the damage. The support that was provided was purely based on the responses that were received. The survey that was conducted did not discriminate against any race or companies in terms of its ownership, demographics, and the support that was provided through this particular economic recovery was really supporting all companies that were damaged. So obviously the NEF has a very specific mandate, and their mandate is to provide support to Black-owned businesses. But the support from the IDC as well as the NEF went much broader than just Black-owned businesses. The support also looked at various businesses in various shopping malls that were destroyed. And this really what the support entailed. The support did not discriminate against anyone at when we roll out the support package. Deputy Minister, if I can maybe hand over to you very quickly on the policy part of the question, if with your permission. Thank you.
DM.
Thank you for permission, Honorable Chair. Chairperson, acting DG has responded to part of the question. I just want to say to Honourable McPherson, Honourable McPherson would know as well as I do that if a tragedy occurred anywhere in any part of the country and the government was to respond to that tragedy, and tragedy affected all of our people, irrespective of race. And government took the position that the response to the tragedy
or the support of those affected was going to be based on racial lines, that government action would be challenged. It would be unconstitutional. It would not be legal. So the government can't adopt such a policy position. So in respect of our response to the unrest, at no stage was a policy directive given that only Black businesses should be supported. As the acting DG indicated to you, Honorable McPherson, maybe that during the course, during the survey, that it so happened that the businesses that were more in need may have been Black-owned businesses. So it was the majority of those that responded to the survey. But our response was to respond to all of those who we could help who responded to the survey. So the only distinction is the mandate of the NEF, which would not have been applied in response to the unrest. But the mandate of the NEF is clear. And as Honorable McPherson had said at the very beginning, when we were discussing another item, so if you have a different policy view on the matter, so that can be discussed separately with regard to the mandate of the NEF. So the mandate is, at this point in time, it is very clear, and it was intended that it should be like that. So if there are different views with regard to that, that's a separate matter that we can discuss. But I want to assure you that there was no policy directive to target a certain racial group in our response to the devastating policy for the elders. We wouldn't have had a legal standing to make such a directive. So no such directive was made. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. I see a hand from Honorable Mbuyani, and then I see the acting DG. You want to have a second bite?
Seamus Mutahun as well, Chair.
Sorry?
I was just saying Honorable Mutahun, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mutahun and then Honorable Mbuyani.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me welcome the presentation. Firstly, I would like to welcome the support given to sugarcane farmers. And then secondly, is Acting DG, I just want to check what was the turnaround time for applications and how was it different from the normal turnaround time for the incentives given that was a better off agency for companies to recover. Lastly, of what approved funding and how much was not dispersed, if any? No, Chair, the last one, I want to say, if there are funds that have not been dispersed, why and have they not been dispersed? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I see the hand from our visiting MP, Honorable Faiz Jacobs.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings, and thank you again, Chair, as allowing me as an observer from the Portfolio Committee of Small Business. We were part of that team that went out to do the oversight after the unrest, and I want to record our appreciation for the team, for the Deputy Minister and their team for a good presentation. It just shows our government is responsive. I think the point is well made that the need and the demand outstrip what we can do and support, but I think a good effort is made. I also wanted to ask questions relating to the lessons the acting DG. I mean, given emergencies and crises we rally around as South Africans. What are the lessons for you in the department to be more responsive? Can we then take these lessons and systems to our normal day of practice or normal ways of operating? Was there a lot of goodwill both from the private sector with government around the economic recovery in this area? And I also appreciate the fact that you gave a broad sense of the type of people and the scope of assistance that was provided. I think we want to applaud the work. Chair, just in terms of a comment, I think we must be very careful to ignite racial divisions and them and us. And so we all suffered around these unrest. I think it's a well-known fact. And we, as especially public rep here, must ensure that we bring harmony, must ensure that we try to build a non-racial, and also ensure that South Africans can come together and bring together. So we mustn't inflame situations, but I think we also must address the legacies of the park, of the apartheid past. And I think we need to remain committed to address the legacies of economic inclusion for all South Africans, which is the majority, or which is the Black South African. So therefore, we must also remain committed to the principles of broad-based Black economic empowerment in the work that we do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Through you, DM, can I hand to your acting DG for responses?
Yes, yes. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair, in response to the questions around some of the internal systems processes, the department work quite closely with the different DFIs, but also with Sasria, who was largely responsible for the damage to a number of businesses that were insured through Sasria. And these disbursements depended on the on Sasria and other insurance, them providing or concluding the assessment of the damage, but also the support that the DTIC provided was around providing bridging support until the insurance companies have then concluded their process. With regards to some of the turnaround times, as indicated in the presentation, the minister held weekly meetings with the heads of the NEF, the IDC, as well as the DTIC teams to ensure that support was provided quite quickly to various companies. And here we've seen the shortened timeframes, and I will just give you an example. The NEF met at least twice a week to ensure approvals, to ensure that approvals within 2 weeks of applications being received. NEF met as on a daily basis to go through the applications. And really this process has really provided them insight into how they can simplify and re-engineering their processes in terms of providing support quite timely. In terms of funds that were not dispersed, Chair, in our presentation, we've indicated that 3 billion rand was approved, and of the 3 billion rand, 2.4 billion rand has been dispersed to date. What we've also indicated that the disbursement will continue in the current financial year, as firm meet various milestones and targets in terms of the conditions of approval. So these disbursements are not yet finalized, but will continue in the coming year. In terms of lessons learned, I think as indicated in the presentation as well, one of the reasons why we were able to ensure that our support reached the number of sites was dominantly through the partnerships with a number of intermediaries And this ensured that our support went in some of the township and rural communities. And this we could see in which we got some of the large, small and informal traders that were supported. In terms of some of the other lessons that we learned, I think the reduction in red tape in terms of improving systems, processes across the board, in both in terms of the DTIC, the IDC and the NEF. And I think this has taught us a number of lessons in how we can improve our systems and processes going forward. In terms of some of the other lessons, I think in terms of the IDC, their leadership quickly realized that a business as usual approach will fall significantly short in terms of the responsiveness required. And this required them to really look at it in a very different way. They looked at in-house collaboration within the various teams. They adopted a much more structured approach with clear roles and responsibilities, clear defined credit assessment parameters and supporting resources. And here we've seen that in cases where companies in whose records were destroyed, they were also able to tap into some of the information held by CIPC in terms of helping companies build financial information that could be considered by the various credit committees. I think what we've seen is that this partnership with a number of private sector companies has really brought about a new way of working. And this is something that we will look at going in terms of support going forward, in terms of the support approach going forward. Chair, in terms of the earlier question from Honorable McPherson, but not to belabor the point, Chair, just to indicate that we did provide support to a number of companies in terms of where the demographic profile of the companies were owned by white male or female. And just to maybe highlight a few, but not to go into the detail, there was a company called Prilla, which employed 269 employees, and they received funding to the value of 15 million rand. There was also another company called Power Stores Bridge City, PTY Limited, who employed 158 employees, and they also received funding to the value of 25.8 million rand. A company called Selrose Edels received a funding of 16 million rand. Another one called Fashion X received funding of 8.5 million rand. And just maybe as a last one, there was one called TradeStar Ikwezi, who employed 92 employees, and they also received a funding to the value of 29.3 million rand. So, Chair, so the support, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, did not, there was no differentiation between any racial demographics, but it was really support in terms of all the companies that responded within the survey and to ensure that our support was felt across the board. Chair, I will then pause at this point and then hand over back to you. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Deputy Minister, you want to make any concluding remarks, as I don't see any hands, further hands.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, thanks to you for the opportunity you have provided to us. Before I do that, let me thank the acting DG for bringing to your attention some of the companies that were supported. Just to make the point that we did not use a criteria that was based on race. But I do hope that Honorable McPherson does take to heart what Honorable Jacobs has said, that this is a very sensitive matter in our society and has got to be treated with the care it deserves. So from our side, we will respond and give support to all of our people depending on need. And we will have no
constitutional or legal basis to discriminate when it comes to support that we give to our businesses or to our people in general. So thanks to the DG for bringing attention, Chair, that it was not only Black-owned businesses that were supported, but the others as well. With regard to what have we learned, and this may be just a small area of our work, Chairperson, but the president has called on the whole of the executive to try and ensure that, in addition to working in an integrated manner, that we can introduce into government processes, into government systems, ways that can ensure that we respond faster. So we're learning through these tragedies that things can be done differently. We did see both NAF and IDC work in ways that were very extraordinary, that were ways that would not have been applied in the past. So as the Honorable Jacobs correctly points out, so we should not work in that way only during periods of crisis, but that we should introduce these methods as a way of working by government. We should apply these to our day-to-day work. And I want to just point out, Chair, that in fact, with regard to the IDC, we're having a discussion with them now with regard to how we respond to the challenges of both township and rural economies. And in what we're trying to do and in our thinking, we're beginning to see how we can bring the lessons that were learned in terms of faster support and the shorter time frames when it comes to processing loans and disbursements. So this is something that honorable member that we would want to introduce Honorable Jacobs in our day-to-day work as government to ensure that we are integrated, but we can work faster because the needs of our people are quite big. And if we were to work the way we have always worked in as government, we would not be able to respond to the many challenges that our people currently face. So from these disasters, from COVID, from the unrest to the flood, we have learned that there may be different ways of conducting the business of government, and we think we can work faster. With that, Honorable Chairperson, thank you for your time, and thanks to the honorable members for their insights and their questions that they've posed to us.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and your team. So in building back better, we will also build back smarter so that we learn from the experiences that we have during a time of crisis. That concludes the business for the day. Can I just ask the secretary to just indicate for our next meeting?
Chairperson, our next meeting is tomorrow. We will engage with the downstream industry and possibilities and challenges to the sugar beneficiation processes. The food and beverage sectors will address the committee tomorrow. Members will also hopefully by the end of business today receive the presentations from these stakeholders, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That concludes the business of the day. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.